right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight. I guess officially the NBA Finals are underway as we have our first road victory. The Cavaliers taking the home Golden State Warriors to overtime twice and succeeding once last night. Minus Kevin Love, minus Kyrie Irving, but a triple-double from LeBron James and off night for both he and Steph Curry shooting, but LeBron ultimately getting the upper hand at the free throw line and almost everywhere else and certainly on the scoreboard. So we'll talk a little bit about the NBA Finals here in just a little while. John Clayton and one or two other writers saying the Colts' window of opportunity is quite small based on the moves they've been making and the draft picks that have not been working. So some interesting comments there from the national media. We've got a lot to talk about here locally before we get up to Indianapolis, as there are several notes with IU and not just the basketball team, but also for the sports and the academics in general here, as the big news over the weekend was Mark Cuban is in the fold here at IU and has given $5 million for the Mark Cuban Center for Sports Media and Technology. And certainly this guy has always been at the forefront of technology and doing so now with how sports media will advance from here on out. And IU is going to be the beneficiary of that, along with some kids coming along and coming up to IU. But Glass, I mean, Mark, he likes to push the envelope when it comes to what his teams do, what his people do for him, and the kind of technology they're going to use in these places. And I love the idea that Indiana is involved in the forefront of this. Don't know exactly what it will look like. I'm sure there'll be some things that maybe fall flat on their face as much as succeed. But the great part about it is, when you're trying to advance these types of things, whether it's technology, whether it's media, whatever it is, you got to have a little bit, I think, of success and failure to do it. I'm very interested to see what this will garner around here. But if nothing else, it ought to stock the two major performance places, Memorial Stadium and Assembly Hall, with the best technology around and the most cutting-edge state-of-the-art technology around. And if that gives us a fourth down pickup that we desperately need against Purdue, I'll certainly take it, or a foul call late in the game.
Well, absolutely. And Cuban obviously has made his money in predicting what's going to perhaps happen in the future of technology and sports media, sports broadcasting. Obviously, with broadcast.com, brought him his first, couple billion there. So
3.6, I think I read over the
weekend. I think half of that was his. That's when he was someone, with someone else. But the point is, it's great to see that he brought that idea that he could have gone and done anything he wanted with it and decided, well, he wanted to give it back to his alma mater and have them get their hands on it and let the young kids goof around with it. And the interesting part about it was the 3D angle. That's obviously on the TV side of things, that hasn't really caught on as much as everybody thought it might, but it's not really that. It's 3D of looking at it. So Assembly Hall and Memorial Stadium will be rigged with special cameras, so they'll be able to produce this and take a look at it. And again, it's a great way to bring Indiana to the forefront as a national leader in this technology, and obviously with the School of Media and everything else going on, housed at Assembly Hall. And it wasn't like Indiana went to him and said, hey, we've got an idea, we want you to bankroll it. He's like, I've got an idea, I'm going to let you take the reins, and I'm going to bankroll it. So kind of an interesting relationship there. But again, Cuban always looking out for the greater good on most things. And this is an example of that. And again, you can put your, like you said, you can put your name on a building. He said that's for people that maybe are at the twilight of their career, because I'm hoping to have a few more good years on it and to see what this thing can grow and develop into. So an exciting time for the school, an exciting time for the athletics department as well. And we'll see how it works out in the future. I'm not going to sit here and claim to be an expert on this or that or how it's going to work. But again, if you're one of the few, if only maybe the one place in the country that has it, that's going to bring you some neat kids, some neat opportunities, some neat instructors. And like you mentioned, maybe down the road, it'll be our people teaching this across the country to others as it eventually catches on. So exciting times, no doubt about it. You're right. I don't think any results will be meted out here in the next couple of years on the playing fields. Who knows? Maybe it will be, but it's a great way to study everything. And like you mentioned, this will get into other fields besides just sports and sports broadcasting. This is you're talking about science and medicine and everything else. Yep, it's a great great way to get your name out there. And then with Mark Cuban behind it, it lends instant credibility to what you're trying to do and gets people's attention from coast to coast pretty quickly.
Well, I look at the most obvious right off the bat with what it could mean right away, just in what they're discussing. You mentioned the 3D stuff. Look, the TVs have not taken off. They haven't gone anywhere. But one area
in, yeah, that's the viewing, not the recording of, well, and I think that's the difference.
Or the usage of replay. I mean, I think that's where it gets interesting is we talk about replay in sports nowadays and where it's used and how successful or unsuccessful it is sometimes in getting calls right. And that was the whole idea behind replay. It probably has a worse rap than it really deserves based on, you know, people's view of it. But to me, the more cameras you can have and the more angles you can look at the same kind of thing, the better off. The whole problem with some of this is you don't have humans or you don't have enough cameras at all the spots to get some of the angles that you need in some of the big calls that we've seen in games. So to me, to look at it that way and to have the goal in place of having more out there, more technology available and more angles to look at things, you know, I hate to see games slow down to replay every other play, but you got to get some of these calls that they've missed right. And the whole idea behind replay was to get them right. And yet, more often than not, we end up talking about, you know, what is missed or what has gotten wrong out of the entire thing or maybe not corrected. So I'm very intrigued about that. And as you mentioned, for Indiana, certainly recruiting on the field, but more importantly, off the field here for this. You know, there's certain schools that are known for their broadcasting schools. This is only going to help, I think, with when it comes to sports production. You know, maybe it's not the Sage Steele of the world that comes through this area. But you're talking about directing, you're talking about camera work, all those sorts of things. This is going to be a really, really neat resource. And I think IU is very happy too to finally get Mark Cuban in with a pretty significant gift
right,
into the university.
Right, that's his first gift to the athletic department. So usually that's not the first either. So that's interesting to see. And again, part it'll be housed in the new assembly hall, so that renovation will host that. I don't want, you know, what do you want to call it? School discipline? I'm not sure what it is, but it's there's no doubt it's again, you'd rather be first than last in Indiana. Is going to be first in the realm of the 3D action, and that's way out of my nerd level there, boys and girls.
We'll receive support from IU's Media School, Radio TV Services, School of Informatics, and Advanced Visualization Lab.
There you go.
Definitely beyond our pay grades. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. A couple other IU notes, particularly IU basketball. Hunter Perea and Devin Davis have found their homes for at least next year. Devin Davis is going to Odessa College, a junior college in Odessa, Texas, ironically enough.
Oh, not Odessa, Russia. That's good.
Yeah.
A little chilly there for hoops.
Hunter Mascara-Perea will be joining former Indiana Hoosier Peter Jerkin at East Tennessee State. So he has to sit out a year. Devin Davis would be able to play right away if he's able to play. I suppose medically there could still be an issue there. We don't know. It doesn't affect IU basketball at this point. Looks like Louisville will not be on the schedule for this coming year. If you've been looking forward to a big area pre-conference game, I should say. It's not going to be, it doesn't look like it's going to be Louisville this particular season. And Coach Crean came out saying he's got a lot of options with his final scholarship. So, you know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about being oversigned. Now we got extras.
Now, and he's got a coaching vacancy to fill as well as Steve McClain left to take the UIC head job. So That'll be interesting to see how that is, because you obviously don't want to be short one coaching staff, because right. that's one recruiter or one position.
Well,
that
he
you're...
has created some positions in his area over there. They with have. Former coaches.
They have video coordinators and everything else. So shuffling those guys around, I don't know if it's an administrative thing. It's probably an NCAA rules thing of what they can and can't do. And they're probably looking at
some guys
at,
can't be on the court
or recruiting or whatever it is. Yeah. So they're probably looking to see when these. When the dates break and who has to be where by what position, so that right. that won't be a surprise. It's not like they're holding out on that. That decision's been made. It just hasn't been announced. Would be.
Well, they've got Rob Judson.
Yeah, Benny Seltzer was back.
Yeah, he's the head of.
He's
a
director
player ops.
Director of basketball operations. That's what Judson yeah. was. So that he cannot recruit or he can't coach on the floor. It's
well,
both.
He's
of those
a
deals.
Former longtime coach and sure. certainly a head coach for a few years. Benny Seltzer was just out of a head coaching job. Was of course here before. He's been in a player development role after losing the. Janae Jackson, he wasn't really a strength coach, but you know they kind of created
it's,
something
it's
over
all
there.
All a yeah. administrative pay grade level and yeah. NCAA rulebook level. What?
Well,
that,
you
got to
fill.
That's
the,
what that goes.
You got to fill the strength coach position too, presumably.
Well,
too,
you, so. Yeah, or I don't know. We'll see. And again, that's going to be done. It's not like it's not. They're going to miss that or let it go by.
Well, there's
that
some,
doesn't happen.
There's some interesting news though too out of the NCAA revolving around basketball, as there's been a list of rule changes that'll take effect.
Whoa.
And there's been some of these have been talked
well,
about.
These happen every 10 years. Remember when the Big well, East went to six fouls, and remember when they try this in these preseason tournaments, or they try it here and there.
There's some good ones in here though, and this is national, so this is not by conference.
Right.
But the first one that's going to get the most publicity. Is the fact that the shot clock is being moved from 35 to 30 seconds. So the initial question here, is this better for the offense or is this better for the defense?
There's a lot of, in the final 10 seconds of the shot clock, a lot of bad decisions made in college basketball. So that are those decisions
still
going to
be the last 10
faster?
Seconds, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't
it's
there,
not,
right?
The last 10 seconds are
the
last
10 five.
Seconds. If you wanted to speed up the game, I don't know if that's the right way to do it. I liked what the NBA did going to 8 seconds to cross the half-court line. That does force the tempo. Everybody gets moving in that direction. And but, again, they're thrown in there. You knock 5 seconds off. Is it a huge deal? I don't know. We're going to see. I don't think it is. It's one pass and two dribbles extra. You throw it to the guy out front. He takes two dribbles,
right.
rotates the ball. There's your 5 seconds, and away you go. It's, again, the end of the shot clock is always the important part when you're running the offense for most of these teams in college basketball. So what that's going to do, teams in college basketball rarely take the 2-for-1 at the end of the half or the end of the game.
Right.
You don't see that strategy involved. Is it going to cause more possessions? Well, from a frankly a math standpoint, it should.
It should, yeah.
But we'll see if it causes better offense. I don't think we can extrapolate that without seeing it. And I know Indiana has always talked about and it's been kicked around. Hey, did you see us when we played in Canada when there was a 30-second clock up there? Well, that's a little bit different. I don't think that's those 5 or 6 games you can say, oh, well, now look how it doesn't happen that way. It's interesting. There's no question about it. It wasn't going back to 40 seconds or 45
seconds. No, it wasn't
seconds.
Going backwards.
That wasn't going to happen. But what the NCAA always has in mind is they keep telling themselves they are not a minor league for the NBA. And so you're not going to see a 24-second shot clock. You're probably not going to see some of the rules mirrored mm-hmm. at the next level. Same with football. The goalposts are different sizes. The hash marks are different. The football's different. There's all kinds of different things because whether they want to admit – they don't want to admit that they are training players for the next level. They're not. This is a – student athlete driven
yeah,
sport
right.
with competition, and we're all going pro in something else. So let's remember that. So the jury's out, at least my jury's out on whether the shot clock's going to make any difference or not. Because again, it's 5 seconds. That's four less. That's three less dribbles. 35 feet away from the basket is all we're talking about.
Well, my unprofessional opinion on this is twofold. For the team we have coming back, first of all, it shouldn't hurt Tom Crean's offense.
No.
He likes to get going fast anyways. He
it
likes
does.
The teams to be quick. There are times when it breaks down and you end up with a last-second shot.
It'll just break down quicker.
It'll just break down with five seconds quicker than you're used to
right.
seeing. But then again, they play fast all the time. So having less time on offense to get into something shouldn't affect them. And on defense... if you got 5 less seconds, you might have to defend for a team that couldn't defend last year. That's a cynical view of it, but that's got to help.
The other side of the view of that as well is the other teams will get into their stuff faster, then you'll have to be on your toes for even more acute time instead of knowing, hey, they're going to dribble out there for 5, 8, 10 seconds.
I'm not going to make this the reason our defense improves.
No, and that's not going to be the choice why our offense improves either. What remains the same is when you look up after you've run some action and there's 10 seconds left and you're standing 32 feet away from the basket with the ball in your hands, it's no different than what you started with. You're still at that final 10 seconds with the ball in your hands 35 feet away from the basket. Those are the problems. Usually when things break down, then you run a high ball screen, and there you go. That's the solution to every problem in the last 10 seconds. A
couple things with regards to coaching and the timing also that have come out.
Less timeouts. They've reduced from five to four.
The number of timeouts will be administered the same way. You lose one at halftime effectively.
So the most you can take to the second half is three.
Is three,
instead of four.
You get four for the game, and then you can't the coaches cannot call live ball timeouts.
That's interesting.
While that's going on, they cannot call them themselves. The players would have to.
Which really doesn't change anything there, because all you do is you yell at your guys with the ball, timeout, timeout, timeout.
Right.
And then he says to the referee, timeout. So, again, some of this is micromanagement stuff that it's not going to – what's that going to change?
Right. Here's what everybody
has to remember. When you play basketball in the first half, your defense is in front of you, and in the second half, your offense is in front of you. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you have all these timeouts in the second half, and your point guard's down at the other end of the floor dribbling around, you gotta get their attention. Hey, he's right in front of you.
Right.
So you just – and how many times have you ever seen a coach get called for anything by walking out five steps on the court to yell at his player to call timeout?
Right.
So you're adding another layer of administrative crap that we all have to pay attention to. But, again, it's feel-good legislation. Don't hurt your arm patting yourself on the back. You're doing something. Reducing the timeouts are good, but you have seen – and it doesn't change. Here's the problem. The problem is you have the under 16, under 12, under 11, under 4 timeout.
Right.
And then in the final 2 minutes, you have 19 other stoppages to see who the ball went off of.
Exactly.
Is that a 2 or a 3? Is the clock right or is it right? Did we not start it right? We can review every technical foul potential out there. What have you done to speed up the game? You've given one less full timeout? Oh, geez.
To the coaches. I can understand that a little bit. I don't love it. I don't like the idea of taking away the live ball timeouts. I don't see the point. I don't see what it accomplishes. You put more administrative stuff onto the players.
Right.
And again, the players are the least experienced people out on the floor in most cases. So why do you take it away from the coaches and give it to them? Wanting them to act like professionals. I don't get that in particular.
No. And the other part is if you have all these stoppages already, a rule that would make sense to me would be when these referees go to the monitor to check time and score, to check whether you're inbounds or out of bounds in the last 2 minutes, who the ball went off of, each team should have to go to a neutral corner, the farthest point away from their bench, and you will solve some of these issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is a guy, okay, check it. So you get the team standing there for 3-4 minutes trying to the referees are figuring out. That guy's got no timeouts. He just got a 4-minute timeout.
Right.
You're not rewarding trying to get the play right.
And here's the
Again, they've got a good idea, but they're executing it poorly, in my opinion.
Well, here's the other thing they've done. This is with replay in particular. They are able to now review a shot clock violation on made field goals throughout the entire game.
Which is smart because, again, if it happens,
it happens. But now you're slowing the game back down because now you're looking possession by possession.
And that
possibly
one timeout you've taken away isn't speeding up anything, and that's the point. And again, strategically with your timeouts, okay, you're up 9 on with me with 2.5 minutes to go, right? And I'm out of timeouts because I've used them all to stay within 9 because you're blowing my doors off.
Mm-hmm.
You get 5 replays in the last 2 minutes. I've got 5 timeouts. What's the reward to the guy who's used them properly? So, again, you're kind of treating the symptom, but you're not solving the – you're not curing the disease.
Well,
so,
the replays have gotten absurd.
Most everybody agrees on that.
And
I don't understand how replay works anyhow at this level because you're going to tell me that the Iona-Siena game has as many cameras as the IU-Purdue game?
Exactly. We were talking about it with the thing with Cuban.
It's completely uneven anyhow. And I know you want to get things right, and I'm for it, but the administration of the replays poor – the idea behind it doesn't work for me. If a guy's out of bounds, here's my deal. And I've said this in football. I've said it everywhere else. If you look at it twice and you can't make up your mind, stop. It's a call on the floor. It's stop.
The floor. Yeah,
stop.
Exactly.
I don't need to have frame. The game is not played by frame by frame. The game is not officiated frame by frame. So don't show it frame by frame.
I don't
show the replay. You
I don't need
it?
Any sport to be exactly perfect.
No,
in the way it's refereed.
Not with humans, you're never going
to
get that.
There are obvious calls that make a difference that you have to try to get right.
The game is not refereed in hyper 1/1 billionth of a second frame by frame action. So my point is, take the guys to the replay booth. Here's the replay. Here's two angles at full speed. Make the call. You can't. It's a call on the floor. Yeah. Let's go. If it's that obvious, it will show itself,
well, exactly,
and the game will move
and
on.
And that's the problem. If it takes 3 or 4 or 5 minutes to look
shouldn't.
At the replay, then you don't know,
the
and it's not
problem.
Obvious, and that's the whole point.
And then problem number two with that is, okay, now we've got the call. Now we got to check the shot clock.
Right,
now
we've
got to get another angle for the shot clock. Now we've got to get another angle for the game clock to make sure that's all
look,
right.
Look, I don't like this idea of the shot clock throughout. I understand it's a rule you want to get right,
it
but it's just another thing that you got to look at throughout the entire course of the game, even closer than you're already looking at it. You're already looking at it. You already have three different mechanisms for the shot clock. I don't think you have to have replay with 18 minutes left to go in the game to see if you got a shot off or not. I don't see why that's important. I get the little particulars. I get the rules. I get all that. But you've got technology in place to help you with this stuff. You know, if you're half a second off or a quarter of a second off at some point during the game, to me, that's the part of the game. You know,
but
if the ball
the
goes
argument,
in, if the ball goes in the hoop or if the ball doesn't go in the hoop is kind of important.
The
if you break
is,
the plane of the goal or you don't break the plane of the goal, that's
many,
important.
How many times did you hear this last night during the Cavaliers game? If it's a foul 4 minutes to go in the second
it
quarter,
should be
why
right,
isn't it a
yeah,
foul
exactly.
at the end of the game? Well, if it doesn't, if it's going to be reviewed in the last 2 minutes, that's pretty important.
Right.
It needs to be reviewed with 18:27 to go if your toe's on the line or if the ball's not out of your hand when the shot leaves. It's 3 points you either should or shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do that, at least that's easier to get right. That you look at one time, you can see where the ball is. That should be a pretty let's get out of here.
I don't see any reason you can't make it last 5 minutes kind of thing. But moving on from that,
you might as well make it all the time, because what it does, it either puts points on the board or doesn't. Possessions are different.
No, I get that.
Possessions don't guarantee points. A three-pointer goes in after the buzzer with 2 minutes and 1 second left, you got a big problem, because if it happens 2 seconds later,
I don't have
issue.
A problem, again, with losing that early in the game and getting back to it later.
But again, 2 minutes and 1 second, you do, 159, you got a problem.
Well,
so that
yeah.
doesn't make any sense to me.
You always have that particular.
One way or the other. And that's what happens when you open up this Pandora's box.
Yeah.
You get in there and you get after it, and if you want the game to be perfect, well, you've got to have it perfect all the time, just not some of the time. I don't think that's fair to either team.
There is one very interesting change that affects the defense positively. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. 574 Landmark Avenue, Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life. And we thank J&S Locksmith, where you find everything for the residential or commercial outdoor technician. J&S Locksmith, 508 West 17th Street here in Bloomington.
333-2665 is the phone number. Talking about some changes the NCAA announced this afternoon, as the 2015-2016 men's basketball season will have a few new rules. In particular, the shot clock will be reduced from 35 to 30 seconds. Also, shot clock violations on made field goals can be reviewed throughout the entire game. They're changing minor technical fouls. They're going to be one shot instead of two. I like that simply
very
because
NBA of them.
Well, there's
very NBA.
There are so many things in sports that are way too punitive for what's deserved. And I always go to pass interference in the NFL. You can chuck a ball up down the sideline. Two guys run into each other. The referee happens to think it's interference, and it's a load of crap.
Huh? They've never
changed
that.
And it goes 50 yards. That's absurd. So to me, you hang on the rim. That's not a two shot foul. It shouldn't even be a one shot foul, but. Whatever, that's what they've got it. The 5-second closely guarded rule has been removed. This would seem to go against the defense. But the issue I mentioned before the break was that the 10-second backcourt clock used to reset when a timeout was called. That has been abolished. It will not reset. That 10-second backcourt clock remains in play. I like that because I think if you go through the effort of trying to stop somebody from crossing half court, you ought to get the credit for it.
Sure.
And timeout shouldn't bail you.
Well, absolutely right. Same thing on the jump ball. If you cause a jump ball on the defensive end, it'd be nice to see, hey, instead of resetting it back to 15 when it's under this or over that, it's just, again, it's just, it's not surprising when you talk about the NCAA, what gets through, what doesn't get through, and you can tell me about all these competition committees and all this and whatever else. Again, it's, why would you get rid of the 5-second closely guarded rule? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you don't want people guarding. You've already penalized the offense with taking 5 seconds off their shot clock.
Skill to dribble around for 10 seconds on your own?
You want to
encourage that?
I don't think they have the 5-second closely guarded rule in the NBA either.
Yeah,
that's another one. So again, what's the end game? Are you not seeing enough scoring? Are you not seeing enough? Boy, I think every time I watch Wisconsin and Kentucky play, they're scoring 85 points every game. I guess everybody else isn't doing that. I don't know what the end game of this is. I don't know. Was there a big – I don't remember watching a game and going, oh, see, that's where you needed the 10 – we watch Indiana. They never pick up anybody full court. Then come into the game one unless Indiana's got the ball. That's the only thing. Hey, good. We got a free
and
new 10 seconds
rule,
on that.
I mean, that's all – it's an arbitrary 2 feet or whatever. You put your hand out. Yeah, you reach your arm out and pretend
you're really guarding. If you're not attempting to guard a guy, it doesn't count. If you're just standing there, they don't start. But it's gone now. You don't have to worry about it. So what they're doing is they're taking arbitrary decisions out, but yet they keep in the block and the charge. So just it's.
Well, let's talk about that one because there is a change there.
Yep, we're going to inch it out. Just
the restricted area that they put in last year under the basket has been moved from 3 to 4 feet. I didn't see much of any effect in the 3 feet last year. It seemed to me there were still a couple times when you could have made a call and you talked about it for 10 seconds on the broadcast and they let it go and dropped it all together. I just didn't see it making much of a difference.
The easy point for that call is if you're in the circle, it is an automatic for the referee, so there is no feel. What do I mean by that? If the feet are outside the arc and the home crowd is roaring and they're on a 10-0 run to get back in the game and a guy comes down the lane, whether the guy's set or not, the crowd in your ear is going to tell you what the call is going to be. How many times you watch it? It's about 95 out of 100 times. The team on the run gets the call no matter how set they are or aren't. The point is, you're going to the trouble of moving the line, but you're not addressing the problem. Again, you're going back to trying to you're trying to give it remedies, but you're not curing the symptom. The symptom is the block and charge is impossible to call.
Yeah.
You've put three guys on the floor. College basketball used to have two referees, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got a bunch of middle-aged guys trying to run it up and down with 18 to 23-year-old premium athletes in the essential prime of their lives, faster, jumping and higher, and
Think Higgins can keep up?
There's Jim Burr waddling down the sideline at 107 years old. Yeah, no kidding. He's not in position. What does he go with? He goes with his experience. And guess what that is? Probably be trifocal contact at halftime and having having a bottle of oxygen for lunch. I mean, come on. That's the problem, guys. But, again, Jay Billis has said this forever. It's like, get rid of the block and the charge. You know what? Guys will stop standing there.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they'll do. You want to open up the game? Get rid of it. That's going to open up the game, not adding 5 seconds to it, not adding the backcourt, not adding the closely guard.
You just let them run into each other?
No, they won't get there. They won't take a charge. They'll try to block. You ever see a kid take a charge in a playground game?
No.
Why? Because it hurts. You could fall down. You could get kneed in the face. You go and either block the shot and either get a foul or you let the or you contest it or you let or the guy scores around you. It's better for basketball, right? It takes the referee completely out of it. It'll put 5 years on every coach's life because that's all they yell about.
But you're removing the most dramatic call of the game
it's
for the referees.
It's not the most dramatic call of the
they
game.
They love making those
it's
calls.
It's the hardest call of the game.
They love
and
making
you know
them.
What? They can't be wrong because you know
they
why?
They jump around. They gesture.
The point is they get it right 85% of the time.
Sure.
And that's not good enough. So get rid of it. You know what you get right? Here's what they haven't gotten right. Obviously, they haven't got right the shot going off the hand when the shot clock's going off because they're reviewing that. So that seems to be a large deal. So they're going to go do that because they can't get that right.
Right, milliseconds.
But they're going to get charge block, leaning, not leaning, moving, right. being all swayed the by the calls. Crowd. Yeah. That's stupid. Get rid of a judgment call if you don't want it to be a judgment. Mm-hmm. Fouls are hard enough to call as it is. Why add an extra layer of it? You want to open the game up. You want to unclog the lane. Well, there aren't going to be guys standing there waiting to get run over.
Right.
And then you have to, if they're leaning this way, by rule,
so
that's...
So what do you do? There's just no charge call?
No charging. Guys will stop taking them. Gotcha. I'm with that 150%. I bet if you ask any coach that plays attacking offense, they'll be with it as well, because what happens is, here goes Yogi to the basket, quick as a lash.
Right.
No one can get to him. Here comes the guy running in. Did he slide in before Yogi left his feet? Was he already there when Yogi left his feet? Is his feet moving? Is he leaning? Did Yogi lean? Did he dive? That's a split-second decision that the referee has to make. That's not fair.
I don't disagree with you on that at all. But there's one question in my mind. The scenario is, you got a center sitting in the middle of the court. He's not moving.
Fine.
And now Yogi's running down the middle of him right at him.
Yep. And the center has to either block his shot, not foul him, or force him to change his shot.
So you can run right at a guy that's already had position established, been there for 3 seconds.
Standing there, and you decide to run into him,
right?
What do you think is again, if the guy's standing there doing this, why would the guy run into him, is my point.
Well, if he can get away with
the
call.
But that's the point. The call is no longer there. So
there's no block either.
You're going to – yeah, block charge all goes away.
Gotcha.
Now, if I'm going to the basket and you're guarding me tight and I give you a push-off with my arm and you see my arm extended, well, that's a foul at half court. That's a foul at the other end of the court.
Sure.
That's not a block charge.
I was just thinking a guy gets his position.
Yeah, so you're thinking a big slow guy. If he's sitting there, he's either going to foul him, not going to foul him, or the guy's going to make the shot. And that's what it is. So if you hack him, if you hit him
on
or whatever.
The arm. Gotcha.
But guys are going to start diving into guys, throwing the ball up, trying to get a call if that call is not going to be there anymore. It's not a perfect way, but the rule they have in place right now is nowhere near perfect either.
No, I don't like it.
I would like to see them experiment with that, because I think every coach would like it, because they wouldn't have to teach it anymore.
Right, exactly.
You have to hurry up there and take a block and charge, and concussions in this day and age, and head injuries. It eliminates that.
There's enough safety issues with the block charges.
It eliminates all that.
Question,
You know how many charges I took in high school?
One.
Yeah. One.
Nice.
My buddy took 150 of them. He loved it.
Let him
He loved getting run over. He loved going, and falling backwards, and he was good at it. And you know what? The louder you scream, the more of a charge it's going to be than a block. So, again, it takes the gamesmanship out. It takes the cheap foul out as well. If you turn into a guy with your elbow in his face, it's a foul. It's a foul at half court. It's a foul at the other end. But if you jump and a guy is doing nothing but getting in your way to fall backwards – that's where we're at right now.
Right.
You see the guy come over. Hey, here comes Novak. He's got three fouls. It's 18:50 in the second half. I'm going down.
Flop.
I'll take
time.
The flop. And if they call it on me, big deal. They call it on me. It's four.
It's like you got shot in
it's
the head.
It's a huge game changer. It's it violates the spirit and the law for me, because that's not how you grew up playing on the playground. That's not how you got a scholarship.
It's within the rules. It's
violating the rules.
It's
bad.
It's violating competitive nature.
Yes,
it really is.
Because
I mean, you're not even playing the game in that
case.
What was
Hannah
Perea
lauded for last year at 6'9", 240?
Taking
charges. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Because you know what? That's what he could do. And that's a problem. Because how many times does he run over and he's halfway on the lean and halfway on the, and it's just bad. It's bad for the game, in my opinion, because when we grew up playing 3-on-3, 2-on-2, 21,
if you're beat,
4-on-4, if you're beat, you're beat. Nobody ever took a charge on the playground, and nobody ever takes a charge in open gym when there's no referees.
Right.
Nobody ever takes a charge at the hyper when no one's looking.
Right.
So get rid of it. It's not hard. It's not hard at all.
No, it's a sneaky one.
It's hard of a judgment call to get right.
And we talk about it. It's sneaky to me. That's why I don't like
and
it.
And you're asking
if you got position, I get it, but a lot of the time it's just sneakiness. Hey, we got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Give you a couple quick programming notes. We got Reds baseball coming up here right after the show. Tonight and tomorrow, 7 o'clock, as Philadelphia is in town. We'll pick them back up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as they head up to Chicago to play the Cubs. 8 o'clock Thursday and Friday, and Saturday, 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, we've got the debut of Time Out for Sports with Joe Smith. He will have Denise Esqui and Phil Klusner, as we've got a South semi-state baseball team with Phil Klusner. And Denise is competing in the state singles tournament once again after taking her team, or helping take her team, to the state finals in tennis. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to a bunch of kids also with the state track and field meet over the weekend here in Bloomington, as a lot of good performances out there.
Get you a full update at WGCLradio.com. Joe Smith did 20 minutes with me this morning. All high school stuff to get you caught up on who won, who got all state and all that other fun stuff, because there was plenty to do. A great weekend for local athletes.
Speaking of great times in a track meet, we have a Triple Crown winner all of a sudden. 37 years we had to wait for a Triple Crown winner.
And that was well worth the wait.
American
Great horse.
Pharaoh goes out and does it. I mean, just flat out does it. Takes it from the beginning and owns
wire
it all the
wire,
way.
Just like it's done, it seems, every race this year. And once he got into position off, what was he, in post 18 in the Kentucky Derby? Once he got to the front, he, about halfway through that race, took over, and he's never looked back since. First one since 1978. Affirmed, and the race had some pieces in it that could have set up for things more difficult, but nobody went and pushed him out quickly. The first quarter and first, what is he? He ran 24 and 48, and if you wanted it to do anything, you wanted it to get fast and make him uncomfortable so somebody at the end could run him down and catch him. It didn't. He went to the front.
He
set the pace.
Yeah. He blew it open.
And if you look at his fractions, it was 24, 48, 112. You just keep adding 24. Just keep adding 24. And
he didn't get weaker.
No, he did not. And when he turned for home, Frosted was right off of his hip, and Pharaoh had the other gear and majestically strode home to the title that nobody has put their hands on, as you mentioned, since 1978. And American Pharaoh joins a very short list of three-year-old Triple Crown champions. And, yeah, pretty neat to see that piece of history being that long in between sessions. The last long session, I believe, was 25 years from Citation in 48 to Secretariat in 73. So we've had a gap, just not that large of a gap in horse racing. So everybody that had a chance to watch that, pretty cool to witness history, because in the sporting world, there's not very many things that you can say, well, this only happened 40 years ago. Now it might be a team like the Cubs or the Indians or something like that, where you just say, well, that team hasn't done it, but that really doesn't affect the general population. That no one's going to sit around and be like, oh, well, the Tigers haven't won a World Series since. It's like, yeah, that's not a big deal. Cleveland Cavaliers haven't won a World Championship since.
Or like
since.
A Grand Slam in tennis or golf, which pretty much never happens. This has actually happened.
I think that's why it's cool, because you had the Tiger Slam. You had to call it something different when Woods won all four majors in a row, just not in the same calendar year.
Right.
And, again, it doesn't happen very often. And when it happens, it's pretty cool stuff. So congratulations to Bob Baffert. The fourth time's a charm. That was his fourth time trying for the Triple Crown, and he finally hit it. And he's a winner with the Pharaoh.
So pretty neat to see that this weekend. Also this weekend, we saw our first two games of the NBA Finals. Lost Kyrie Irving in the last couple minutes of Game 1. He is out for the rest of the season. So it's
broken
the LeBron
kneecap.
James show.
Stuff.
And, he's got, I think this time around, last time around, I suppose he did also, but he's got a roster that has at least got some toughness behind it. But LeBron James, I can't say took it entirely on himself, but when you throw up 16 rebounds and 11 assists to go with 39 points, you're certainly taking a lot of load.
Well, what are you doing game one? It's not like he
44
had
44 points.
Well, did it on 30, how many, 38 shots there.
Yeah.
Cleveland should have won game one, and they didn't. Yep. And their defense is giving Golden State some problems. Golden State couldn't shoot it last night, at least from Steph Curry's point of view. And he just takes bad shots. I understand that mentality. Hey, you got to shoot yourself out of it. But no, you don't.
He shoots very quickly.
Not in the NBA Finals, you don't. Especially when Klay Thompson's 14-28. He's been hitting. He's been proven. And you see this at every level. It doesn't matter. We're going to go to our hero guy at the end, and he's going to be the one that makes it or breaks it for us, because he's got us here, and no one will be upset. Well, again, last night wasn't Curry's night. Was he from three? 2 of 15?
2 of 15.
Right.
And I'll tell you what.
I mean,
you mentioned our
awful
hero. I realize he's the MVP, but awful. Klay Thompson and him, I mean, between the two of them, they're both dead-eye shooters. I don't know that either one has to be the guy you
the
get
it
to the end.
Was it wasn't the shot. The problem was twofold. He was ice cold, and it was an air ball.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times you see Jordan LeBron shoot an air ball with 5 seconds left? That's the other problem. He had two more dribbles. He had three more dribbles. He had two more passes. It wasn't catch and shoot at the buzzer.
Right.
Oh, it's a tough one. You're fading away. No, it was an inbounds play. they got the ball to him on the wing where he wanted it, and he shot an air ball. Mm-hmm. It's more proof that it wasn't his night. And then Golden State gets the ball back because Cleveland can't even free throws, and then they turn the ball over trying whatever they were trying on that point. So Golden State lucky to survive game one as James helped them out as he was out of gas at the end of that game. Taking not the best shot at the end of regulation there. Last night he takes it to the hoop, misses a left-handed layup. Tristan Thompson bricks the tip in. Again, they should have won that.
That was a block at by that Green.
Point. And the point is Cleveland knows they can only win one way, and that is to slow down Golden State and mm-hmm. get the game in the 80s and the 90s. Golden State had 59 points after three quarters. That tells you exactly what Cleveland's motif was. Lock it down defensively and keep it close enough where LeBron, if he has to miss 18 of his last 21, he can hit a couple in there to save the day. And you saw why LeBron has to shoot every time. How many times in the last couple minutes of that game he'd break down the defense, kick it in the corner, air ball, brick, miss, yeah. Not even close. By some of those guys. J.R. Smith had played the worst playoff game in the history
really
of playoff
games.
Stuff. Yep. A guy that's been there and seen some action in those spots, just dumb fouls, can't execute. But who does James have to turn to? Dellavedova's in there scrapping for rebounds, getting to the foul line. That's the difference in the game. It's easy to play couple possession games with Golden State. It's hard to get up and down with them all night long, and they gave you a cookie. They didn't shoot it great in game one. They didn't shoot it great in game two, and neither did LeBron. LeBron hasn't lit it up. He's lit up the stat sheet, but he's not the volume shooter that knocks him down constantly.
Two team statistics here. Big change here for Cleveland results in the victory. Plus 21 free throw attempts, so
sure.
Getting to the basket.
And LeBron got hacked about 9 times at the end of the game.
He was
14 of 18.
The other one
LeBron
is...
LeBron, you whine all the time. That's why you don't get every call.
The Cavaliers were -3 rebounding the first game. They were plus 10 this one, so hitting the boards
Well, and the other part, too, is if you keep Golden State off the offensive boards where they tip them out and then the guys knock down a three. They missed the first one. Green right. goes in there, tips it back out to Thompson. He knocks down a three. It's not like they're getting offensive rebound putbacks for two. It's they're getting rebounds and kicking it out again for another try at a three, but how many games can you shoot it poorly? I don't know. That'll be interesting to see. Now Cleveland goes home. They've got a game in their pocket, and Golden State will have to figure out how to win on the road there, because Cleveland could be up 2-0 in the series. Golden State could be up 2-0 yeah. in the series. So it's compelling is definitely what it is.
Pair of overtime games, no question. It's been very good basketball and very compelling, as you mentioned, to watch.
Tuesday,
even,
Thursday.
Even when some of the shooting is ugly, it's very compelling down the stretch. Because Draymond Green blocking LeBron James.
Clean block.
I mean, that was phenomenal play. And you saw Kyrie Irving do that to Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, I think it was, at the end of the
yeah.
game before
My favorite
that,
part so. Was LeBron crying after he traveled 3 times changing pivot feet, was in the lane for 4 seconds, and then he got hacked by Iguodala, and the boy, Mike Breen, oh, my God, how does he not get a call like that? It's like, guys, you can take 19 steps and stay in the lane for 5 seconds.
It's
but
the NBA.
You wouldn't have to make up the call if you got it right in the first place.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday, so tune in then and stay tuned. We got Reds baseball coming up in just a couple minutes. You've been in the zone.